Welcome back to Jump Scare. I'm Betty.
And I'm Chad.
This week, we virtually visited, or actually virtually attended, the Chattanooga Film Festival.
Yeah, they've been doing it for a few years now, and I've wanted to go in person, but since this was a year that they decided to put everything online and make it available virtually, this seemed like a good time to check out what they had. And they had some interesting stuff this year.
Yeah, I wish we would have been able to watch all of them. We just got the one-day ticket.
Yeah, because we had some plans we couldn't get out of and change around, but we managed to spend a lot of yesterday watching some movies. We watched several of the features, and then we watched a few of the shorts as well.
Yeah, do you want to start off with the shorts, or you want to go into the features?
I'll start off with the shorts. The first one that we watched is not really a horror one, but it is kind of creepy. It was called His and Herzog. It's basically a married couple where the woman speaks in Werner Herzog's voice, which that should just creep you out right there. And the things they had her say were hilarious.
Yeah, they were pertained to like the situation, but they were things taken, I'm going to assume, from other things he had done before.
Yeah, they're probably clips or all clips from other movies or interviews. The beginning of it talks about where he said if a certain filmmaker ever got a movie made, he would eat his shoe. Yeah, well, he actually ate his shoe when the guy got a movie made. And there's an audio clip of that where he's like, yes, I prepared the shoe.
And then one of the characters does eat a shoe. Yeah. The husband eats the shoes.
So, yeah. They thought about this one for a while.
Yeah. There was like, it was nasty. The waiter brings two red high heels on a silver platter, but the high heels are filled with like mashed potatoes, gravy, and like onions. It was disgusting.
And, you know, I got to give it to Werner Herzog. People like always assume that some of these like guys are very, you know, snooty and not going to be, but he's game for anything apparently, because he obviously let these people use his voice. Then he had that crazy scene where he was on Parks and Recreation that time, and he has a sense of humor about himself, I gotta say.
Yeah, this was a very, very odd short, but it was fun.
It was somebody's, I'm sure somebody's idea was just like, hey, wouldn't it be great if there was a show called His and Herzog? And then they just went from there.
Yeah.
Another one that we checked out was one, not so much of a short film, more of a music video, and it was called Live Forever. And it was basically a tribute to all the horror movie victims that didn't make it to the sequel.
Yes, which they stayed in the end of it. It was so cute. They was like, it's like a sing-along, and they're different horror scenes from recognizable, like that you can recognize like what horror movie they're kind of like paying tribute to.
Yeah.
There's like six of them, I believe.
Yeah. Everything from Friday the 13th, Event Horizon.
The Grudge.
Yeah. There was a little tribute to all kinds of different movies in there. It was really cute. It was fun.
Yeah. It was really cute. I really liked it. It was very funny.
Another one that we checked out that we had wanted to see at Popcorn Fries, but we didn't get a chance. It was a short called Go Back by Nathan Barber. And I gotta say, that's a very creepy one.
It's very creepy. I have so many questions.
Yes. First of all, let me just say, never get out of your fucking car when you see like a mannequin just standing in the middle of the road.
Well, he didn't see the mannequin first. He saw something worse than a mannequin. At first, he saw just a white sheeted figure
standing in the road.
No, I'm not getting the fuck out. I'm not going to run you over, because they were like, he was like in the woods, like in the backwoods.
Yeah, like a back road.
I would just go around you.
And if I couldn't go around you, yeah. I would take the advice of the title. I would go back. I would turn around. Go wherever I need to go is not that important.
Yeah, so that was pretty creepy. I do have questions, but yeah. I guess that's not going to be answered unless I hit the Instagram. Maybe send a message. But there's some things that happen. I mean, these are like short shorts. Some of them, they vary. They had like 5+ shorts, like 5 minutes, 7 minute, 13 minute, 20 minute.
Yeah, this one's about 6-7 minutes. It's really interesting. I really enjoyed it. It has a good creepy vibe to it. If it was expanded out to a full movie, I could see it being really good.
And then the last one we saw was Inferno.
Yeah, I like that one. It was a little hard to see in spots. I don't know if that was just our connection or if it was just always super dark like that.
You're kind of, it's a little peek into, like, you see a whole bunch of shit has happened to this girl. She's kind of like hiding out in a hotel. And it's like a fight against her and, like, I would say, like, a demonic being.
Yeah. And it again, it was really a lot of cool scenes and stuff in it. But I feel like it felt like you were kind of just picking up in the middle of a story. You got to see like a middle scene from a movie, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't bad, but it would be like if you just saw one kill scene from a Friday the 13th movie with no other context. It's good. It's interesting, but I didn't want to see more of it. I'd like to know how she got there, what happens, all that.
Yeah, maybe this was just like a little appetizer.
Yeah, like a test to see how well it goes over.
And that's all that we saw from the shorts.
Yeah.
We focused more on trying to get as many features as we could get in. And the first feature that we saw is called Attack of the Demons.
Yeah, and it's an animated one.
Yeah, like paper cut out cartoon animation.
Yeah, it's a very old school looking like 60s, 70s kind of, almost reminds you of some of those like holiday specials you would see.
Yeah, and the film is set in 1994.
Yep, and it's a music festival at a town in Colorado where there's conveniently only one road in and out of the town, and a guy shows up and summons demons, causes an avalanche that covers up the one road out of town, and everyone's trapped in town with the demons. But it did a good job. Like, the animation is really, it's a crude animation, but at the same time, it's very unique. It stands out. It doesn't look like the other CGI stuff that's out there. You had, like, the characters still, you got emotions across, and it had a good story to it. This is one of those ones that, if they adapted it into a live-action movie, it wouldn't surprise me, because it would go over pretty well.
Yeah, it kind of had a little bit of everything in it. Kind of had, like, a Evil Dead feel, Attack on Titan feel, like, it had a little bit of everything for me. It was cute. I liked it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. And like I said,
the kills were, I mean, it's animation, so you could do all kinds of crazy fuck things.
Yeah, and they had no shortage of crazy kills in it. And it was fun to see. I miss seeing those kind of crazy animated movies like that. I would love to see some more in that style, or like in the heavy metal style of horror movies and that kind of stuff. It'd be great to see them go back to do that.
Yeah, that would be pretty fantastic.
Yeah. Can you imagine a full-on horror movie? I mean, they did a few little shorts in the heavy metal movie years ago, like the one where they're on the World War II plane.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see a full-on, like, zombie animated movie like that in that style. That'd be amazing.
I like the fact that you like to see a zombie anything. You're really into zombies. I've just learned that about you. I didn't know that.
I've liked quite a few zombie movies. There's quite a few more that I have not enjoyed, but I'm always willing to give it a shot.
Yeah, so we give that one, I give it 2.5 knives.
Yeah, I give 2.5, 3, and I'll go 3.
You go 3?
Okay. I'll go 3 knives, I really enjoyed it.
It was enjoyable. I felt like it was a little long for animation, but my mind might have been skewed on that whole thing. Maybe I'm taking it.
It might have been a little bit, but it's hard to tell. I enjoyed it, so it didn't seem too overly long to me.
The second film we watched
was Scare Package.
Wait, wasn't it? No, it wasn't Scare Package. Was it Scare Package? Shit, I thought it was a Hollywood Horror Story.
No, that was the last one.
Really? Okay. Scare Package. Yes. I in my mind, we've watched that one. That Hollywood Horror Story is just terrible. But you will expand upon that a little bit later.
Yes, I'll get to that.
Scare Package. I have to say that I love me a good horror comedy, and this one is really funny. They pulled off so many things. It had so many tropes in it, and they made fun of them in a good way.
Called everybody out on this one.
And, you know, it's a lot of the times when you have, like, an anthology movie, there's going to be flaws. Like, I can name, like, Tales of Halloween I didn't care for. I can name a lot of VHS, not a VHS fan.
It's ironic considering how much you love actual VHS.
Well, this one did a great fucking job. The wraparound story's good. The individual ones are good. Could have had done with one or maybe two of them. But they fared better to me more than the other movies I had seen.
Yeah.
They connected well. The flow was good. And it was funny.
It had a unique way of like moving from story to story, too. A lot of them are just one story ends, the next one begins. This one would sometimes have it be like, oh, someone puts a tape in and is watching a movie, and this is the next story that you see. Then the tape ejects and it goes back to the other story. So I thought that was an interesting way to do it.
Yeah, so it's kind of like little, I don't want to say commercials, but they take you in and out of like the wraparound story.
Yeah, the wraparound story is set at a video store. And, you know, it starts off with people, the guy on the way to the video store, and he's being told a story by someone on the way. And then it cuts to, you know, the video store, and he's different, like, tapes and things there kind of inspire other stories that are happening. And then, of course, eventually, you know, the video store is going to get drawn into the story. So, yeah, I like the way they did it. It was like, I'm with you. It could have maybe had one or two less stories in it, and it would have been okay. But they still, I enjoyed it. It was fun.
Now, not to give too much away, because I feel like that will ruin the movie. I'm going to just name off the stories. You have first Cold Open.
Yeah.
Rad Shad's Horror Emporium.
Rad Chad's.
Rad Chad's. Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes.
Yeah, because it's just because you live with a Shad that you naturally go that way.
Yeah. You're always in my heart. There you go.
There you go.
Rad Chad's Horror Emporium. One Time in the Woods.
That one.
Mister Girl's Night of the Body. The Night He Came Back Again, Part 4, The Final Kill, which was fucking hilarious. So Much to Do and Horror Hypothesis.
Yes.
And
by the way, Mr. is an acronym. It's M period, I period. So yeah, you'll have to wait to see what it stands for.
Now, this film is going to actually be coming. It was announced on the 13th of, like, just a couple of days ago, that this film is actually going to be hitting its way to Shudder. So,
oh, okay.
You will all be able to watch this film.
They're also going to be running it at a special in the Fort Lauderdale area. It's going to be at a drive-in down there.
Yes, Popcorn Frights.
Yeah, Popcorn Frights is running that as a special at the drive-in with another short, The Mortuary Collection.
Yes, and I think that they probably are sold out on tickets, or they're coming very close
to being sold out. Yeah, they're either sold out or very close, but we'll put a link to it on there just in case there's some tickets available left. You can check that out, because it'd be pretty good to see this at a drive-in. It would play very well.
I have to say, now, going Cold Open, fucking loved. You don't even know, like, where it's going, and then it gets there, and you're like, and for those of you who either have seen it, and or after you see it, if you have listened to any of our podcasts, you know I'm a big fan of a certain franchise, well, film. I'm not going to say the whole franchise, of a film. And this one, like, it was great. It was so good. Rad Chad's Horror Emporium.
Yes.
Really like that one. And you mentioned that was actually filmed.
Yeah, that's filmed in Vulcan Video in Austin. So there's probably quite a few people that we know that have been to that place. I know probably Erica from Customers Also Watch. She's been there a lot. Unfortunately, they're closing down, I believe.
That's devastating.
Yeah, because it looked like a pretty cool place from the... I don't know how much they bullshitted for the movie and how much is actually real, but yeah, it looked like a pretty cool place, so I would love to have gone there.
The Night He Came Back Again, Part 4, The Final Kill. I mean, with a name like that, you gotta love it, right?
It's, you know, just... that's going to be crazy right off the bat.
And Horror Hypothesis. Which has Chase Williamson in it.
Yes.
From Arctic.
Yes, from Arctic, and John Dies at the End. Both movies I loved.
I loved all the other stories as well, but these are the ones that really stood out to me, and then I have especially the Horror Hypothesis for so many reasons. I don't want to give away. There is a cameo, a special thing in that one, and we were kind of like, ah!
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that this person showed up.
Big time surprised. Had no idea this was going
to
happen.
And it's inspired me to want to open my own video store and have a certain dress code for the employees.
Do you have ones that were your favorite, or were those also your favorite?
I really enjoyed most of them. I think probably the Mister one was probably the one that I thought they could have cut the easiest, because it kind of didn't fit in with the other stuff. I mean, it was okay, but it just, if you were going to have to lose something just to move things along a little bit, I would have probably cut that one.
Yeah.
The Girls' Night of the Body was another one that was a little, it was okay, but it was a little silly too. And I guess it's supposed to be silly since it's a horror comedy, but you could have lost that one again and I would have not missed it very much.
No, I would have not missed it, but you know, I thought it was funny. It was funny. We actually forgot to say that this film is written and directed by 7 different people, men and women.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a horror anthology, right?
Yeah, so all the different segments are, a few of them actually are written and directed by the people that are in them, which is always interesting.
Yeah, that is pretty interesting. But, you know, it's like you're making, I mean, the film looks great too. It looks great. Like, the kills, I was taken back. I was like, there's some CGI, but there's a lot of practical effects, and they look great.
Yeah, they look really amazing. Even some of the stuff that's really crazy silly just looks great.
There's one effect that I was just like, I was not expecting. There's a transformation in one of them, and I wasn't expecting the transformation. I thought there was going to be a cutaway where they were just going to show you, like, he's like, oh, I'm going to transform. And I thought it was just going to be all, like, I'm going to transform and then that's it. And then cut away and not show the transformation and then go back and then he's already transformed. But when he went back and he's transforming, I was just like, holy, well, okay, this is, I was not expecting this. And this looks pretty good. I was expecting it to look like how terrible that transformation was from that other fucking movie that we watched, The Bad Moon.
that was interesting. But, you know, to be fair, that movie came out in like 1995. So when they tried to do CGI in that, it was going to be sad. But it probably seemed innovative at the time. They were like, everybody's going to shit when they see this werewolf transformation that happens in like 2 seconds on screen.
I don't mean to be a horror fucking snob, but 1995 should have looked fucking amazing. Because at that time, you had 2 movies that came out that had amazing fucking effects. You had American Werewolf in London, and you had The Howling. So there's no excuse. We're not talking
about CGI effects, though.
Fine.
Yes, they tried. CGI. They tried CGI, and they just didn't have it yet. But it's one of those things of like somebody had to throw themselves on that grenade and give it a try.
Well, they had started off with the practical effects, but they said it was taking too long, it was too much money or something, and then they did the CGI, right?
Yeah, then they just kind of CGI'd it from there, and it's like, because I know there's a director's version of that Bad Moon where they literally, the only thing they change is they cut the transformation. You just see the guy start with the practical effects, then they cut to him being the full werewolf.
They should have just done that. They just should have just kept it that way. It would work just the same. Because it's just as bad. But anyhow, we digress. The Bad Moon got us hooked up with the terrible effects. I give this film all the knives. Can it have, just give it a whole fucking drawer of knives. I give it, I give it 3.5 knives.
Yeah, I'd go for that too. I'll go for that too because it was a lot of fun to watch. I enjoyed it.
It was so much fun. Now, our next movie.
Yeah, this is one of the late night films, and this was one of the Vinegar Syndrome picks, and it was the Hollywood Horror House. And let me tell you, this movie, it has got some crazy imagery and crazy scenes in it. Like, I don't even know what kind of drugs must have been involved in some of this because it's about a guy who decides he's going around murdering people in the Hollywood Hills, specifically older women. And he decides that he's going to move in with this older actress and kind of take over her life. It's kind of like along the lines of like a Single White Female kind of thing where he moves in, starts slowly taking over her life, spending her money, telling her what to do and all this. You know, and then he's murdering off the other staff that are in the house, and that might be a threat to him. But there's a crazy scene where he's just sitting on the couch, like shooting heroin, like you do, and then he's having a flashback to like a crazy orgy when he was a kid, and he's in a hallway that's like got weird colored checkerboard patterns on it. He's running down the hallway and he can't get out, and his mom is like screaming, "What are you doing here?" at him. It's just insane. Yeah, this is a movie that, like, when I'm watching it, I was watching this one by myself, and when you're watching it by yourself, it's just not that entertaining. But it would be great if you had a group of people that were sitting and watching this and were laughing at it, pointing out mistakes. This is a good group film. As a group film, I'd say it's a 3-star movie. By yourself, it's like a 1.5-star movie.
You're giving it too much fucking credit. You saw it by yourself because I fell asleep. I could not stay awake for the movie. I was just like, this movie is terrible. It was so bad.
Like I said, it'd be a good party movie, but by yourself, it's a 1.5.
A party movie on mute.
And yeah, just trying to figure out what's going on. Do your own dialogue for it. I love especially the scene where she got loaded and went on a Santa float parade. She was on the Santa Claus float on the parade. Yeah, wow. That happened.
Yeah, that's fucking weird.
Yeah, so that was a thing that happened.
Well, so you give it 1.5 then, since you saw it by yourself?
Yeah, since I saw it by myself.
That leads us to the last feature that we were able to view, which is Eat Brains Love.
Yes.
Another horror comedy.
Yes, this was a rom-zom-com.
Yes, from the director of Idle Hands, Rodman Fletcher.
Flender,
my bad. You know, it was funny. The movie was funny. It was good. It's good to see, you know, it's like one of those, like, oh, where you been? It's been a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, I know where he's been, but where you been?
Yeah, this one was pretty entertaining. It's a different take on the whole zombie apocalypse. It's not really an apocalypse. There are zombies out and about, but their existence has been covered up. It's a closely guarded secret. The zombie virus in this one is not spread by biting, clawing, or anything else. It's only spread by sexual contact.
Yeah.
And the zombies only like go into full zombie mode when they're incredibly hungry. So they can pass for normal most of the time. It's just when they get really hungry that they go full, you know, rage virus and start coming after people.
Yeah. There's so many... It's like... So many things happen. It's like It Follows meets like X-Men meets like a zombie movie.
Yeah, they make a lot of references to other movies in it as well. And I appreciate the fact that they just went full out with it. Like the effects in it, the gore is over the top.
Yeah, it is.
And it's not like the ones where I love the zombie movies where somebody gets bit one time on the shoulder and they fall down and that's it, they're dead. This is not one of those. Like, these people are getting bit all over, and it goes full, like you see a few Day of the Dead type scenes in it.
Now, like, the movie is semi-narrated by one of the characters, which, you know, is frowned upon among some people in the film community. Narrated films as a whole. So if that's not your thing, this movie's not for you. But it doesn't take away from the movie. It just, like, flows it along because you're seeing it from... She's the person telling the story. And they call their zombies necros or...
Necrotics.
Necrotics. Necro for short. And, you know...
They also, in this universe, there are psychics.
Yes.
And telepaths.
Well, that's where the X-Men... comes in.
Yeah, and they recruit them like with an aptitude test at high school, and then they use them to track down the zombies, and they're also conveniently able to erase the memories of anyone that's seen it. And in the case of this one, you have the two main characters in this, two of the main characters,
Jake and Amanda.
Yeah, that they are infected with the zombie virus, and they go full zombie at the cafeteria, and they pass it off as a mass shooting. Because as the character in it, the telepath character said, a zombie virus would panic everyone, but a shooting on a Monday morning? Just another day.
Yeah, it was very sad, but that's... And then, you know, at that moment I was like, okay, yeah, that can be a thing.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
It's kind of ironic because Robin Flinders' movie, Idle Hands... had the misfortune of coming out on either the same day or the same week as the Columbine shooting. And it caused a lot of controversy because, of course, there's teenagers being killed in that movie. And then everyone was super sensitive about it. And it caused a lot of problems for him.
Yeah. You know, and the other thing that sets it apart from other zombie movies, which at first I was like, where are they going with this? And then I was like, okay. The people get turned to zombies via the transmitted sexual disease. And then they get ravenous like a zombie. But after they eat, they go revert back to their like normal self. So these people are talking. They look alive. Like they're normal. And to the point where they get hungry again. And then they become zombies. So they're only in like zombie mode when they get hungry.
And the way they decide to solve the problem of what they're going to do. They don't want to just eat innocent people. Is they start working their way through the sex offender registry.
Yes.
So that way they're sure everyone on there deserves to be eaten.
Yeah, it was a funny movie. It was pretty decent for like a different zombie movie. Because it's like, oh, zombies again. Like, you know, you're not a big zombie fan.
It's like anything else. It's, you know, when Twilight came out, everybody was running vampires into the ground. But then you have something that comes around like 30 Days a Night. That's a whole different take on vampires. And you're like, oh, okay. I always feel like there's never any particular monster or subgenre that can't be revitalized and made cool again, you know?
Interesting.
You just get tired of it for a while until someone else comes along with a new take. Because, I mean, if you think about it, we really hadn't had a lot of zombie movies for years until we had, like, Shaun of the Dead when we had a zombie comedy. You didn't really have another one in theaters, really, until Zombieland. And then right after that, you got The Walking Dead, which we kind of got saturated with zombies then.
No, yeah, that's what killed the whole zombie, is The Walking Dead.
Once everybody saw The Walking Dead, and they were like, you know, we can just steal that idea and go from there.
But I do like the idea in this film, how they're, the way that they go about the whole zombie thing.
Yeah.
And it was funny. Like, it was funny. If you like Idle Hands, you know, it has that same kind of, like, humor.
It's like Idle Hand, Shaun of the Dead, Zombieland, things like that. This one will definitely be up your alley.
For sure. I give it 3 knives.
Yeah, me too.
It was a good, what we saw, I enjoyed, with the exception of the Hollywood Horror, which I'm not going to count it because it's not part, it is part of the festival because it's a Vinegar Syndrome like special thing, because it's probably coming out or came out on via Vinegar Syndrome. Yeah. So I'm really just going to set that aside.
But since it's an older movie, anyhow.
Yeah, like, it came out in 1970. Yeah. So, and then these, you know, are made recently. So I'm going to give all the credit to that. I really enjoyed what I saw. And, you know, I wish I would have been able to see more because they had a good lineup. All the movies sounded very interesting.
And the only one I was going to skip was the one about redneck mudding culture in Florida. I see that every day. I don't need to see a movie about it.
Yeah, no, I didn't care about that. Yeah, this is not a horror film festival. There's a lot, but it's a mix. There's a mix of stuff.
Yeah, they do a lot of genre things. There's a lot of horror, but there's, you know, some just random documentaries and stuff in there too. There was one I would like to have watched about the Fulci documentary. Would have been interesting.
Yeah, that would have been very interesting. I'm sure they'll probably show up on Shudder or somewhere at some point.
Pretty soon, yeah.
But thank you so much for joining us and traveling down the Chattanooga Film Festival selections that we viewed over this Memorial weekend. And stay tuned to the horror.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.